All right, we got the Hall of Famer here. Do you want? Do we want to?
You want to throw him out right now?
Yeah.
Okay, why not? Yeah. This Hall of Famer, yeah, and this is the Canton Pro Football Hall of Fame variety of Hall of Famer. He's in many others as well.
Absolutely.
But Andre Johnson joins us now. How about it for the GOAT?
Yeah.
And maybe he can tell us. I got a question
how do you
right
use
off
Deontay
the bat,
Johnson
Dre.
On like 48 hours of him.
He's active, Dre.
He's like what?
Deontay Johnson's been on the team for like 36 hours. Yeah. He's active today.
Yeah.
Can he do something?
Nice to see you, by the way.
Merry Christmas.
Go right to the big question.
How do you use Deontay Johnson today?
I don't know. I think if you know we do use him, you just run some quick screens and things of that nature to kind of get him involved. I don't know. We haven't really been able to push the ball down the field lately. I think, you know, that's been kind of Achilles' heel a little bit. But I do think we do need to give Joe the ball a lot more. I think he should touch the ball at least about 30 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Whether it's throwing or as a receiver or a running back,
That's what, you know, they've been doing. Bobby's been talking about just passing to set up the run more these last couple weeks, and I think that's probably the best strategy, especially today because the Ravens have a really good run defense. But they got to get the volume up. They just got to figure out a way to get more touches.
Yeah, definitely. You know, whenever he touches the ball, like he makes something happen. You know, normally when he runs the ball, he's always falling forward. You know, he's always gaining positive yards. So I feel like as long as we can do that, and with him touching the ball, you're always going to stay above the chains. So I think that'll be you know, a great thing for us today if we can incorporate that.
Andre Johnson, Hall of Famer, joining us. How has you get into the Hall of Fame last summer? What's been the biggest change in your life since going into the Hall of Fame? Just at least in terms of attention, notoriety, what you can charge for your autograph, whatever the case may be.
It's definitely it's a lot different, man. You get recognized just about everywhere you go. It's a hell of a feeling to have. And it just, I think for me, it's just the excitement of the fans because, like I say all the time, it really wasn't just about me. It was about this organization, about the whole city of Houston. So I feel like we all accomplished it together. So I'm just excited for everybody, not just to meet, for me to enjoy it, but they get to enjoy it with me. So, yeah.
You know, a couple times you've said, Andre, that, you know, especially when you first got here and then especially after our first 2-14 season, about how you felt like it was your personal goal to make people respect the Texans. And it's been different, I'd say, the last couple years. And then, you know, on through when it first clicked was 2011 or so. Yeah. Like, where do you feel they are now compared to, say, 2003 when you first got here?
they're a lot further ahead than we were. But, I think, especially after last season, I think it kind of put a bullseye on the back of the Texans, or the organization, period. Especially, like, when we got Stephon, it was just like, it went from the Texans being a good football team to, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. So I definitely think that kind of put a bullseye on the team's back. But I think, like I said, they've been handling it well. I think they do a good job of trying to block out the outside noise. We just been hit with some crazy injuries, man. Like, the whole Tank Dell thing, that crushed me, man. I almost was in tears when I saw that. But because you know how hard the guy works, you know, I have a good relationship with him. And to see that happen to him after seeing what he experienced last year, man, that was tough. That was hard to watch.
What's it like when you're working with Tank? Because I know, like, one of your moves as a receiver to establish the game early on is if a guy was going to try to press you, that you would just, you weren't even really trying to work a release. You were just going to grab him and throw him down. Like, that's a hard technique to teach a lot of people. I feel like you can teach Nico that a little bit, but for Tank, it's a whole different strategy, obviously.
Yeah, see, the thing with Tank is hard to touch him.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little shifty guy. And if you can't get your hands on him, like, he's going to kill you every time. Like, I've never seen a guy that creates so much separation, like, in running routes like Tank does. And, you know, that's the benefit of having him. You know, when Stephon was here, you know, I think his touches kind of went down a little bit. But as you can see, he started, him and CJ started to get back in the rhythm, and then you had an injury happen. So you could definitely see the chemistry with him and CJ went out on the field. It's like clockwork. So, like I said, that one hurt. That was tough.
Well, some of those, like on the outs especially, it feels like with him, with CJ and then Nico and with Tank, you know, you used to work with Schaub in the off season. Like, people didn't know it because there was no Instagram back then, and you weren't going to be you wouldn't have been showing him on Instagram anyway. Right. But, like, you guys would work the entire off season just running route after route after route, and it was just a different feel when you have that relationship with the quarterback.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, you see it because, you know, like, it's a different time now. Everything's on social media. So, you know, those guys travel. I know they go out to California and train together and things of that nature. So, that's definitely when you put all the work in. Like when Shaw was here, we used to go to U of H all the time and, you know, work out at U of H and just do routes consistently over and over and over to where, like, when you got in the game, it became like second nature. So he knew what I was thinking. I knew what he was thinking.
It's just you two a lot of the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be times where there'd be all the guys out there, but then me and him had our own personal times where we would just be like, hey, let's go out there today, just me and you. And we just would go through different scenarios or, hey, we get this coverage. You know, I'm running this route. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So it was always like, you know, us kind of coaching each other.
Yeah.
Andre, CJ and the offense at this point of the season. The defense is playing maybe championship caliber in many ways. I know the Jimmy Ward injury is huge for them. But the offense, I feel like there's still an opportunity to kind of put it all together in time for the postseason and maybe not get to the number one in the league status, but play well enough to advance, to make some noise in the playoffs. What's it going to take from Stroud and the rest of them?
Well, I just think, like I said, I feel like we need to give Joe more touches, whether it's running or passing the ball. And I think, like I said before, it's just about staying ahead of the chains, you know, not getting into those third and long situations. Not having, one of my coaches used to say, the self-inflicted wounds or you know, the jumping off sides or the unnecessary penalties. I think if we are able to cut that stuff out, then, you know, you could see the offense be more successful. I think we catch ourselves in a lot of third and long, and it's hard to convert those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last one before we get you out of here, Dre and Mark, because we're in the Men Behind the Mic segment here, too. D'Amico Ryans recently, in one of his press conferences, compared Nico Collins to you. Mm-hmm. And we've done the same thing, just in terms of the role that he plays. And I'm curious your thoughts about where Nico's at as a player, and especially now where, with Tank out and with Steph out, he's in a similar spot to a spot you were in at times, where you were the guy teams were going to focus on.
I've seen, like, I remember when Pep Hamilton was here, and he was like, man, I got this kid, Nico, like, you really need to just talk to him. And so when I saw him, I was just like, damn, like, he looks like a basketball player.
Yeah.
So found out he had a basketball background, and I remember we working out on the field, and he would just go up and attack the ball. He had that natural, like, rebounding ability. And he told me some things he was uncomfortable with, you know, as far as, like, catching the ball. Like, you know, a lot of guys that are right-handed, they have trouble catching the ball over their left shoulder, you know, the deep ball and things of that nature. So I would just tell him, like, hey, man, whatever you're uncomfortable with, just make sure every day, like, you take some time to just, like, work on that, you know. And I said that eventually it'll become natural to you, and you won't even think about it. You'll just go out there and just naturally do it.
Yeah.
And, to see every year just like the jump that he's made as a player, and I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, damn, like he reminds me of myself, like some of the plays and things that he's made.
His ability to slow it down and sit on things as a big guy, that's where I started noticing that in camp last year. It's hard for big guys to just sit down in a chair and come back and everything. Yeah. That was where it felt like, okay, there's something here.
Yeah, it's definitely you could definitely see, like, his route running, everything has, like, it's like went up to, like, another level. So like, to see what he's done and a transition he's made from when he first got here to now, I think he's only going to continue to get better and better because he's learning more and more as he goes along.
I need to do something for Andre. We need to start this now. People need to understand, Andre Johnson gets asked about Courtland Finnegan every single day of his life.
Yeah.
Like, every single day of his life, which is cool. Is there, what would you prefer somebody brought up? If you had to choose one play or something, to, if people brought it up every single day of your life, would you prefer to every now and then as a changeup?
I don't think it ever changed.
Yeah, like,
he's giving up.
Yeah, like, I don't think
you
it
should
ever
write
changed.
Down, write something down, and give it to people when you.
Would you be okay if eventually they built a statue outside the stadium for you, and it's you pounding Courtland Finnegan? It's you standing over Courtland Finnegan like this. Would you be okay with that statue?
I mean. It isn't nowhere you go that you don't hear about it. Well, I go that I don't hear about it.
Yeah.
The fans, they post it all the time. They send it to me. I think it has like an anniversary date or something. Like it's crazy.
Website
so,
and everything.
Yeah, so if they put a statue out here, I think it would be only right.
Yeah. You know, yes.
Everybody says it's like the Houston moment. Yeah. So,
it's a Washington pose.
Yeah.
The Washington 4th and 10 conversion.
That's what I was saying.
If I had to pick one, I would pick that one.
So if you guys have a chance, and you're thinking, like, I'm going to ask him about Courtland Finnegan. Ask him about 4th and 10 versus
4th and 10, or the play where he had, like, five Arizona guys bounce off of you. I like that one.
Good.
That was a good one, too. Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans. Andre Johnson, Hall of Famer. Our Texans legend for today. He's a legend, all caps, size 72 font.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Guys, Merry Christmas. Appreciate
Same
having both
guys.
Of you, man.
Merry Christmas.
Andre Johnson, Mark Vandermeer.